Hello and welcome to The Garden Show. My name's Kitty LaBounty.
And I'm Molly Kabler, and we are here this morning, pre-recorded, to talk to you about pests in your garden.
Indeed. So pests are those things that make you crazy. And we're going to mostly talk about animal types of pests. We're not going to talk about diseases or other things, unless we maybe, you know, squish a few in at the end. But mostly we're going to talk about animal pests. And the first thing we're going to, before we start going down the list of organisms that will drive you crazy, I thought just a couple, there's some general principles that I think really help. And the biggest one is vigilance, is walking out in your garden every day if you can and just checking on things, seeing how things are. If you catch things earlier, they are a lot easier to deal with than like all of a sudden 2 weeks later going, oh my gosh, what happened here? So vigilance is key.
The other thing I would say along with vigilance is observation. And so noticing that something is chewed, that's vigilance and being there to see it early and often. But you also need to look closely and figure out what it is that's chewing. I have seen people post pictures of something's eating my plant. What is it? Well, it's a little hard to tell if you don't actually look carefully. And sometimes looking carefully at different times of day will really help you understand what's going on.
Yeah, so time of day can be really important. The other thing I wanted to mention was clean up and removing hiding places for things. So cleaning up and, you know, dead parts, diseased parts, or even just, you know, any sort of stuff that's hanging around sometimes gives certain animals places to hide. So clean up is actually kind of important. I'm not saying remove all of your mulch. You can have mulch, but, you know, check up on it. Make sure there's not like a little pile of slugs hiding under your mulch.
And speaking of slugs, that's probably the number one pests that local gardeners in Southeast Alaska battle. If you don't, you're a very fortunate person and count yourself so. But most of us do have slugs, either the giant forest slugs or some of the other smaller sort of random garden varieties. They come in different colors of grays and browns and blacks. Doesn't really matter. You don't need to worry about identifying them because the solutions are pretty much the same for all slugs.
Indeed. So I mostly have the big slugs. And what really helps me to keep track of them again is I like to go out in the garden. And I don't just go out in the garden and look for, oh, there's a slug on the trail or, you know, on the little path. You kind of have to like look under things, right? So we're looking under things. You see big slugs. What I used to do is I would carry like some sort of a skewering device and I would just basically stab the poor beast and give it a good toss. And that's still the easiest way for me. But that's because I have very few, but I have massive slugs. I have seen a few of the smaller ones around, and that technique works. The other thing you could do is carry around some sort of gnarly, nasty cup of something, like, I don't know.
Salt
or beer or something, and just put the poor little wee beastie in there when you find it.
So there's three things to do. One is the you know, checking around and eliminating habitat for slugs. Kitty already talked about that one. There's four now that I think about it. The next one is seeing them and removing them. And that's pretty much, you know, whether you have the large ones or the small ones, you need to look around. There are ways to help you. If you see chewed plants, you know
something's
that there's probably something nearby, and it's worth looking under leaves or alongside your raised beds or something like that. So those are important things to get after.
The other thing I really like to do is I use bait. So I will use Sluggo as my bait of choice. And it's nice because it breaks down and it actually adds some fertilizer to your garden. And I mostly use it when I'm going to be gone for a little while and I know I'm going to be gone. I just put a little bit out. And I do try to just put a little bit out kind of like on a regular basis to help take care of the little beasties. And that seems to work pretty well for me. I grew up using beer traps in Western Oregon. That was kind of the standard. And I know people still do that here, but there's a couple of things you want to do if you do use a beer trap. You want to make sure your container is flush with the ground. It makes it easier for them to get into. And then you could rig up some sort of a cover for it. So they have a little, they think, oh, this is a nice spot. Both it smells attractive and I want to go in here. And it's also keeps them shaded. And if you have the cover on, the beer doesn't get diluted.
Exactly. So a couple other things to do is to know what slug eggs look like, and particularly early in the spring, get those out of your garden. And going back to the sluggo, the bait, I agree with Kitty, often and in small amounts is really ideal, and rain will take it away. So, you know, yeah. It just dissolves it away as well. And for the most part, I believe it's probably not harmful to animals, your pets and birds. I'm sure it's not great, but I think it's minimally harmful, and there are probably far worse things. A container, like a recycling container, a small container you would recycle with some salt in it, is another way to just, if you're hand collecting them, you can put them in there. The salt is, you know, kills the slugs, and then you can just dispose of the whole thing in your trash, and you don't really have to deal with that ugly and sticky mess.
That's true.
Going forward.
I guess the skewering and tossing doesn't work quite as well in town. Your neighbors might get a little annoyed at you if you start throwing slugs in their yard. So yeah, be a little more thoughtful. I have a little more space to toss things around, and so that's an easier one for me to do. Some people have had good luck with copper stripping around like containers or raised beds. I haven't done a lot of that because I have a lot of raised beds. But if you have a smaller garden and you want to give that a go, I encourage you to try it.
And the other thing is, I think that making your yard friendly to birds, and remembering that the black beetles, the black shiny beetles, are also hunting small slugs, and so to encourage them.
Yes, so encourage these other beasts. People will try things on containers or put things on, you know, slightly higher levels, but slugs can climb. I saw a slug the other day, like 6 feet up an alder trunk. I was like, what on earth are you doing up there? So they're impressive little invertebrate, you know, mollusks, but I love to be impressed with them outside of my garden instead of in it. So the other thing is winter maintenance, clean things up, and then I like to till my beds. And that also actually helps keep down some other insects. So if I till my beds early on, I'm exposing those slug eggs to frost.
All right. So next, and probably most common and most annoying in the list, is the aphid.
Mm-hmm.
And this year in particular, we seem to have a very good aphid crop. Aphid come in green, gray, brown, kind of translucent. So if it's a small annoying thing, it's likely an aphid. They're pretty easy to deal with, but if you don't pay attention and catch them, they can be pretty devastating to some of your perennial plants in particular.
So they're really tiny, so look for small green things, and they like to live where they like to hang out is in the young growing tips of plants, even woody plants. So that's where you're going to look for a concentration of small little green bodies. And they like the young tissue because they live by basically sucking on the sap. So they're pulling out the juices from your plant, and so they're robbing it of some of that. Some of the nutrients that they need. So they are easy to get rid of if you go early and often.
And the other thing is, there's not much to do to prevent aphids. You just be on the lookout, and then a mechanical way to get rid of them is just a hard spray of water. That's a great way. And then there's a couple other ways, would be soapy water or some of the horticultural oils or the safer soap, which are an environmentally friendly version of a pesticide. But really just knocking them off the plant, and if something's really bad and really far gone, just pull it up and burn it or put it in your trash. But vigilance and then mechanical or soap is really it on aphids.
Yeah,
so.
They're one of those things. I carry out a little spray bottle with me all the time this year. It has a little bit of soap in it, and I spray them. And, you know, my columbines are the ones that really get it with these guys. So aphids are, yeah, they're hard to prevent but easy to keep on top of.
So the next one on the list probably is the root maggot. larva, and it's there's a few different ones. They're little flies that zoom around. If you don't grow vegetables, this is probably not something that is a problem for you. But if you do grow any of the broccolis or the root vegetables, this is potentially a real problem. What happens is the fly lays eggs right at the base of the stem of the plant, and they hatch and burrow into the roots. If it's a broccoli or a cauliflower, they really weaken the plant by working over the root system badly. If it's a root crop, they damage the root itself, and it's not very appealing when you go to harvest it.
No, I've picked out radishes before. Before I started using row covers, which is really the simplest, easiest way to take care of these guys, and then you'd get radishes that were just filled with holes. And sometimes I've grown trap crops of radishes, actually, amongst my other things, because it seems like they'll concentrate in there sometimes. But honestly, the simplest thing with these guys is row covers. I mean, I don't feel like I need to do anything else. I just cover them up. And eventually I'll take them off, sometimes early or late. It depends on, I use row covers actually to protect the plants from some other more vertebrate sort of predators in this sort of case. But boy, they are it's so effective. It's so easy to take care of root maggots.
And all you're doing is tucking that row cover around so that the flies can't fly in and lay their eggs near your plants. So it's very simple. And then when your plants are either big enough or healthy enough, or the main life cycle of the root maggot fly is over, that main hatch and breeding, you can take your row cover off.
So there's a whole pile of pests we could talk about. The three we already hit are probably really the main ones. I have trouble more often than not with scale insects, but that's more my house plants, and they are very specialized, kind of interesting sap-sucking insects that you're much easier to get off when they're small, and same kind of treatment as you'd use for aphids. So I tend to put the afflicted plant in the bathtub and then spray it, usually with soapy water, and I'm also like constantly trying to remove them. The other thing is, if you can put your houseplant outside for the summer, the other insects will pick off those scales. And that actually, once I started putting my lemon tree outside, hope it never gets too big to do that with, then the other insects take care of the scale. But otherwise, it's a little bit of a battle.
So another major pest are deer. And my main recommendation to you is do some research and plant the species that deer don't tend to like. And the number one plant that I hear deer devastate in Southeast Alaska for gardeners is tulips. Mm-hmm. They are a magnet for deer.
They sure like roses too, and actually quite a few other shrubs. And there's different sorts of little disturbances you can set up. You can use fences, dogs, all sorts of things to try and keep them off. But keeping deer off is a little bit more of a complicated issue than is keeping off root maggots. Although I have had good luck with Rime.
Well, there's also dogs, cats, your neighbor's children, and and flying birds sometimes can hop in, but we've discussed most of the main ones, so good luck with battling pests in your garden.
Yep, and for The Garden Show, my name's Kitty LaBounty.
And I'm Molly Kabler.